Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. For this week only, save $200 on their 3-pack. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We covered a lot in that first hour. A lot about cancel culture. I do want to talk about what's happening at the border. The Biden administration, at first they called it a challenge, but now they're deciding that we don't need labels of any kind. And I find that to be perfectly timed because there's a lot of labels that are out of fashion now. Remember kids in cages? That was a label the left really liked. Not so much anymore. But before we get to all of that, and I will get back to this piece by Barry Weiss, which I think is phenomenal. I will get to a lot of sound today. We have more sound from Andrew Cuomo that I guess I missed yesterday afternoon. He said there are allegations, and then there are allegations, which is in itself a pretty unbelievable statement. But before we get to any of that, I'm super excited to welcome back Matt Boyle to the program from Breitbart News. Matt, thank you so much for joining the show.
Grace, it is always a pleasure. I love being on with you.
All right, so Matt, you broke a very interesting story, and I just got word that there's actually been a change-up in this since you broke it. This is the story of Democrat Congressman Vincent Gonzalez. Can you explain to people what you guys discovered at Breitbart and kind of how this played out?
Yeah, so this is a Democrat congressman who represents a district that has, in its more than a century since its creation in Texas, never gone Republican. So what often happens with a lot of these career politicians who represent these districts is nobody really digs into them, especially if they're not competitive districts. So this guy has been filing his Vicente Gonzalez from Texas. He represents the 15th congressional district. It was created in 1903, and it's never gone Republican. So over a century of Democrat rule in this one district, this guy's got a bank account with the Bank of China, according to his financial disclosure report. So we went through his financial disclosure reports for the last 3 years, and it turns out that he's got a bank account with the Bank of China. The reason why this is significant is the Bank of China is controlled and owned by the Chinese Communist Party. It's a state-owned enterprise, and they are very public about the fact that they view their mission as implementing Xi Jinping, the Chinese dictator, communist dictator's communist socialist agenda. They are very upfront about it. They state it right on their website that they're a state-owned enterprise and so on and so forth. So why a Democrat congressman would have a bank account with this bank is very interesting. Now, in addition to that, it turns out that this bank account is very lucrative. So according to these financial disclosure reports from 2017, 18, and 19, the congressman's account was worth between $100,000 and $250,000. During each of those years, he reported earning between $2,500 and $5,000 in interest. Now, $2,500 and $5,000, that doesn't seem like a lot, but that translates out to about 1 to 5%, somewhere in that range, between 1 and 5% in interest. I really find it hard to believe that anybody out there across the country, even with a really high-paying CD, but especially like a savings or a checking account in an American bank, finding an interest rate at that level. So
yeah. There's no Matt, this seems like Hunter Biden levels of interest.
Right. So this is definitely hanky. There's something going on here. And then after we broke the story, the congressman's office came under a lot of pressure from local news outlets down in Texas who pressed him for it. He refuses to do any interviews about it, refuses to be transparent about it. But his spokesman says that he has since closed the account. So that's kind of if there was nothing wrong with what he did here, why is he closing the account, running away from such a high interest paying account? But this, the broader issue here is that we're seeing Democrats across the board, whether it be Eric Swalwell with Bang Fang, right, or the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden situation, and there's so many more that we're learning more and more about how a ton of these members of Congress, members of the Biden administration, the president himself, Hunter Biden, so on and so forth. Now we know that Vicente Gonzalez follows this long line of Democrats who seem to be compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. And there seems to be serious problems with them and their response to it. They talk tough. They say they want to be tough on China. But then when it actually comes to actual action, it turns out they've got deep financial relationships that compromise their viewpoints on this. And then again, if we look at Vicente Gonzalez's voting record, he voted a number of times to help the CCP on floor votes that were bipartisan against them. This it fits with a larger pattern of problems on that front.
But Matt, they don't just talk tough. In your piece, you mentioned that Gonzalez had signed a letter from the Blue Dog Coalition. Can you tell people what that is? Because this is really where it shines a light on his hypocrisy.
Right. So the Blue Dog Coalition is a group of Democrats in the House of Representatives that claim to be moderate. So I'm firmly of the belief that there's no such thing as a moderate Democrat, but let's take them at their word. They claim they're moderate. So they claim that they are down the middle and are not radical extremist socialists. Okay, so there's a big group of these guys in the House. They claim to be moderate. They wrote this letter at the early days of the pandemic, so in May 2020, saying to the rest of the congressional leadership, to Kevin McCarthy, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, and they wrote this letter saying that they want to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party, and they were concerned about China's handling of the coronavirus pandemic and so on and so forth. So they're saying the right stuff, right? So guys like Vicente Gonzalez are saying a lot of the right things. But the content of that letter, it's hard to disagree with much of it. So it is the right thing to say. People are looking for people to stand up to the CCP. But then when you actually look at, again, the guy's actions on his voting record and his personal financial disclosure accounts, we start learning that it turns out he's not doing what he's saying he intends to do. And that's a real problem. And again, this comes on the heels of, again, Eric Swalwell, the Fang Fang situation, the Hunter Biden stuff, right? All those things that came out in the lead up to the election, the Joe Biden stuff, and we're learning more and more about different cabinet members from the Biden administration. Gina Raimondo, the new Secretary of Commerce, for instance, refuses to put Huawei, the Chinese telecom company, on the entities list, or keep Huawei on the entities list. It was on the entities list. So people understand this: it's a list from the Department of Commerce that basically bans a company from doing business in the United States. And the reason why the Trump administration put Huawei on the entities list is because Huawei is not really a technology company. What it is it's a state-owned enterprise, much like the Bank of China in China, that's run by the CCP. Designed to try to collect information on the West. And so what they do is they put out their technology, and then it serves as a giant collection tool. We know that Huawei is a very dangerous company. So the Biden administration is empowering the CCP by doing this. Then we're also seeing actions by, for instance, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, Biden's ambassador to the United Nations. She gave a speech in 2019 to what's called the Confucius Institutes. The Confucius Institutes is an effort by the CCP to infiltrate American colleges and universities. She gave a paid speech there where she praised the Belt and Road Initiative. The Belt and Road Initiative is how the CCP has been gaining geopolitical control and power economically over much of the developing world. And so all of these all of these pieces come together and paint a picture of how the Democrat Party is essentially compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. And we have a real problem in the United States. There needs to be much more expose on this. Frankly, we probably need an American Activities Committee type of a deal, investigation into people across the board in our government, because there are so many of them in the Democrat Party that are on the take, from the Chinese Communist Party, are compromised by the Chinese Communist Party, and are a serious threat to our national security across the board in the Biden administration as well as in Congress.
Now, Matt, my last question for you is more vague, but I want to know your thoughts thus far. We're not far into the Joe Biden administration by any stretch, and he seems to be less and less available to the press. He gets up there. He doesn't remember the name of the Secretary of Defense. What are you thinking right now? What is going on behind the scenes of the Biden administration, if you had to guess?
Well, we're 50 days into the Biden administration as of tomorrow, I believe, and we haven't had a press conference from President Biden yet. This is the longest a president has gone in modern history without a press conference. It's frankly unacceptable. The entire establishment media should be ashamed of themselves. CNN should hand over their press passes and admit that they are activists. The fact that this is not the front page story in every single media outlet, that Joe Biden is hiding and refusing to do a press conference, is an embarrassment to the institution. The entire White House Correspondents Association should resign in disgrace. Every single one of them should admit that they're not journalists. This is frankly an embarrassment to the institution of journalism. And I put it at the feet of the media. It's CNN's fault. It's NBC's fault. It's ABC's fault. It's CBS's fault. It's the New York Times' fault. It's the Washington Post's fault. It should be the front page story until such time as Joe Biden does a press conference. Non-stop.
Matt,
the fact that they aren't doing it is an embarrassment.
I always say on this show that I'll have like one rant a day, and I never know when it's going to come, and then I'll just start ranting about one thing. And I feel like today I don't need to do that because you just summed it up for exactly how I feel. I keep saying to people, I will never forgive the media for allowing this guy to get this far in, to wheeling him over the finish line. It's embarrassing. And every time they do something that's semi-okay, everyone's like, oh, props to Jake Tapper for asking that question. And I'm just thinking, we should have been asking questions about Hunter Biden, about his bank accounts, and about Joe Biden years ago, let alone now when it's too late.
Too little, too late. They should be embarrassed of themselves. They're all failures. None of them are real journalists. They're all political activists, and it's time that they should just come out of the closet and admit it. So, in fact, I think the media would benefit a lot institutionally and rebuild some trust that they've lost over the years with their audiences if they just came out of the closet and admitted that they're all a bunch of Democrats.
I agree. Matt Boyle, where can people read your stuff?
Breitbart.com.
Thank you so much for joining us, Matt Boyle. He always has all the information on all things China, on the Bidens. And I love how he has as much disgust for our media as I do. I mean, that just goes to show you, I will have him on as many times as he wants because I appreciate people echoing my frustrations. Guys, if you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you got to try Genesis 950. The reviews are amazing. This is one product that actually works. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors, so they're gone for good. And it can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green. But my favorite part, speaking of all of this nonsense that's going on right now, my favorite part of this product is that it's made in America. If you're tired of pet cleaners that don't work, it's time to buy Genesis 950. Plus, you get a lot of product. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. I don't have any pets, but I like to use it in my bathroom, in the kitchens, floors, you know, grease stains, anything. It works wonders. Guys, order 1 gallon direct at Genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using code GRACE. That's Genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis 950, much cheaper than replacing your carpets. 844-500-4242. We'll open up the lines, and we got a lot of sound to get to. Do not go anywhere on this Wednesday. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Grace Curley Show Nation. Hope you're all having a good Wednesday. It's gorgeous out, which I don't think I've said that in months here in New England, but it really is. The sun is shining, and we have a lot more news to get to, and not a lot of time left. So let's get right to the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's the biggest threat to the future of the country? Is it China, the Democrats, illegal immigration, or woke social justice warriors?
I'm picking Democrats and woke social justice warriors. I consider that one.
Yes, that combination is in the lead at 83%.
Because you just heard Matt Boyle from Breitbart. I mean, if the Democrats are backing all of these, if they're letting China eat our lunch, that's Joe Biden's favorite expression, then, and if they're letting illegal aliens rush across our borders, then they're a huge part of the problem. They're scarier than China itself or illegal immigration itself, because they're helping facilitate all of these issues. It's insanity. But I do want to talk about the border, and I think we'll talk about that in the next segment. So if you guys want to call in, 844-500-4242. I see Fox is running with this all day, and I understand why. Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, really dug herself into a hole yesterday. She wouldn't admit this is a crisis. She didn't want to put labels on it. And then she said it wasn't their program, which is not, you know what?
Suck it to me, baby.
You know what? I'm not even going to wait till the next segment. We got to play this. You heard Joe Biden when he forgot the name of the Secretary of Defense. He said the guy from that outfit. And you thought outfit was bad because it's that outfit is the Pentagon. But this is weird, too. She's asked about DHS. She's pushed about the numbers. A reporter keeps wanting to know the numbers. And listen to what Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, says about this. Cut 20.
There are reports out there that the number of unaccompanied migrants detained at the border has tripled in the last 2 weeks to 3,200 plus. Is that number accurate?
I'm not going to confirm numbers from here. Obviously, the Department of Homeland Security and others are oversee the programs and the engagements that happen at the border.
Why won't you confirm that number? That's a very important number.
We've been very clear that there is an increase, that there are more children coming across the border than we have facilities for at this point in time. Those numbers are tracked by the Department of Homeland Security, so I'm just suggesting that you talk to them about specifics.
Well, we talked to them, Jen. They won't confirm the numbers.
Well, I would encourage you to go back to them and ask them again. We're not going to confirm them from the White House. It's not our program. It's the Department of Homeland Security.
Is the White House encouraging the department to release those numbers, then, in the spirit of transparency that the secretary promised here at this point?
We certainly encourage transparency, but what I also think is important is to talk about what the root causes are here and what we're doing from a policy standpoint to try to address the challenges that we're facing and that these kids are facing as they come across the border.
Someone just got owned by that reporter. That was bad. That was bad. And also, by the way, she says that's not our program. Jared, again, I know I always say to you, correct me if I'm wrong. DHS, is that not... Are they their own entity, or are they under the president of the United States? Because she speaks for Joe Biden now.
I believe they are, in fact, under the purview of the presidency of the United States. Yes.
Does the Biden administration think they're only in charge of like Major and Champ and those and photo ops around the White House and pictures of Joe Biden walking in the Rose Garden with his mask on and his aviator sunglasses saying another week in the books? They know they're in charge of more than that, right?
Well, actually, today there's a briefing going on right now, and at least for this portion of it, the border representative, Brenda Jacobson, is talking. It looks like Jen Psaki has been benched for this one so that Brenda Jacobson can talk about this, and she is just faring no better.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's just, I'm trying to grab the sound here, but yeah, Peter Ducey was just talking about, you know, what's going on with the surge. And Jacobson said that it was a change in the, that she feels part of it was a change in the this new administration, a change in the policy, which spread a message of hope after 4 years of the rest of that people could come by. And the traffickers have certainly taken advantage of this hope.
I hope I get in. I hope I get in. Well, you just might. They all have their Biden shirts on, too. Biden let us in. And now they're saying, we're not really sure where they got this idea from.
I don't know where this Biden thing came in from.
More than 3,200 migrant children were stuck in CBP facilities on Monday, the highest in the agency's history. But I don't want to put labels on it. We'll be talking more about this on the other side. 844-500-4242. Yikes. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Guys, I gotta say, I know I've only been doing this a couple weeks, but it's kind of blowing my mind that every day I get to come out here and talk to people and that the Democrats are helping me so much in finding stuff to talk about. Because there is never a dull moment. Jen Psaki gets up there yesterday. She says that DHS is not their program. That's news to me, but there's a lot of things that I'm learning in Biden's America. I'm getting woke. I'm waking up. Actually, just a side note, I had a woman call me from in the last segment, a really sweet lady named Mary, and she said she listens to the show all the time. And she said, I just want to ask what you mean. My friend wants to know what you mean by the word woke. And I explained to her, I said, oh, it's just like liberal, you know, you're really progressive, you're awake to all of the injustices in the world. It's the best way I can describe it. But what I should have said is, Mary, if your friend has to ask, she's not woke. You're either woke or you're not woke. But the point is, Jen Psaki gets out there, she says, no, it's not our program, DHS. We're not, and we're not putting labels on immigration. We're not, you know, it's not a crisis. It's a challenge. And you think it can't get any worse. And they probably thought that too. So they brought up this new lady, Roberta Jacobson. They gave Psaki the day off and they said, let's bring out Roberta Jacobson and let's see if she can fix this mess that we're in. And to her credit, Roberta Jacobson had a worse answer than Jen Psaki. She said, Jen Psaki, hold my beer, because I'm about to blow these people away. Jared, play that funky music.
Coincidence that as soon as Trump and his immigration policy were on the way out, and Biden and his stated policy were on the way in, this historic surge at the border started?
Well, first of all, one of the things I think is important is we've seen surges before. Surges tend to respond to hope. And there was a significant hope for a more humane policy after 4 years of, you know, pent-up demand. So I don't know whether I would call that a coincidence, but I certainly think that the idea that a more humane policy would be in place may have driven people to make that decision. But perhaps more importantly, it definitely drove smugglers to express disinformation, to spread disinformation about what was now possible.
Oh, they didn't need to spread it. They didn't need to spread it. Trust me, Roberta, you guys had that covered. I love that. It's hope. It's just hope. Remember that. All right, guys, I know that you have to have your masks on. Your kids are, you know, learning third grade on Zoom calls, and you know, you haven't been to work in a couple months. You're laid off because of, you know, the shutdowns. But when you see the illegal aliens coming in and they don't have to wear masks and they're traveling all over the place, just remember, it was because of Joe Biden and his message of hope.
Restoring the soul of hope, decency, unity.
You know what I hope, Jared? I hope that there is a red wave in 2022. I hope people are waking up to this insanity.
I hope we stop HR1. There was a red wave in 2020, but it was stolen.
I know. You're absolutely
right. That's the key. You got to stop the HR1.
I totally agree. So this is a statement by Donald J. Trump. He said, when I was president, our southern border was in great shape, stronger, safer, and more secure than ever before. We ended catch and release, shut down asylum fraud, and crippled the vicious smugglers, drug dealers, and human traffickers. The wall, despite horrendous Democrat delays, would have been easily finished by now and is working magnificently. Our country is being destroyed at the southern border, a terrible thing to see. Fact checked? True. You know what I like, though? I appreciate the fact that Donald Trump didn't use the word coyotes, because as we've seen, that confuses the blue check marks. And sometimes, Jared, they get confused. They don't like you throwing coyotes under the bus. So I'm glad he stopped using that word. But let's get back here to this issue at the border. I mean, these are numbers that even people like Nora O'Donnell and CBS and all these places, they're even admitting that this is something that we have not seen before, that this is a big deal. And whether or not you want to label it, it's a problem that everyone, not just people in Texas, because guess what? When people come into this country illegally and they get to Texas, they get on the Greyhounds and they go anywhere they want. So if you don't think this is coming to a community near you very soon, you are mistaken. Let's play. This is from CBS. Okay. So if you're out there and, you know, you're mad at me for all of my hate speech right now, this is CBS. Cut 11.
Border patrol stations, most of them were built to detain adult migrant men for a brief period of time. They have cinder block cells, usually with one toilet. They have no beds. There are no social services there for children.
All right, and let's go to cut 12.
Well, we know that the administration is looking at opening several influx facilities, including one in Florida, and is also looking to actually house unaccompanied migrant children at a military installation in Virginia. That's how dire the situation is. There's no bed space, and so the U.S. government is actually looking to place children at a military installation.
CBS News has learned that the number of unaccompanied migrant children in custody has nearly tripled in the last 2 weeks. Tripled! The current number of children in CBP custody is the highest in the agency's history. And yet, though, when the kids were in the cages way back when, I think it was 2018, there was such outrage, and there were photo shoots. AOC was, you know, at the fence in the parking lot taking pictures, and the cover of one of those magazines, either Newsweek or Time magazine, had the little girl, you know, being separated from her mom. And there was, it was this massive optics nightmare for the Trump administration. And even when they report this and they say highest in the agency's history, it doesn't seem like they're reporting it with the same shock and awe and chagrin that they had just a few years ago. It's almost like they were using the situation at the border to hurt Donald Trump.
I need a toothpaste update, damn it. How many two-year-olds don't have toothpaste? I knew for a fact in 2018 that two-year-olds at the border didn't have toothpaste. Now I don't know. How am I supposed to sleep at night?
Well, also, you remember AOC, she was calling in concentration camps. And now she just says, it's still not okay. It wasn't okay then, and it wasn't okay now. That's fine. But is it concentration camps? Because if you use a certain level of rhetoric, that's what you have to answer to. I'm just really blown away. And they keep going back to this idea that it's a humane and moral immigration system. Let's play that cut. This is cut 21.
We're not trying to close our borders. We are trying to create an effective, moral, humane system. It's going to take some time to do that.
Have you tried closing the borders? Because that kind of worked last year.
And it's like, are they really, come on now, are you really surprised? Are you really surprised? Trump predicted this to a T. And just to show you, if you're nervous about the state of our country right now, one, I don't blame you, but I do want to finish a little bit of this piece because I think it really does go down to this idea that we all have to be these uber progressive, liberal, tolerant, I'm using air quotes there, people, and they're educating the youth in this way and making people feel so bad about either being white or being men or, you know, anything. And I want to read you guys this. This is from Barry Weiss's piece in Substack. And this is a school. It's called Fieldston. These are all super expensive private elite schools. But physics looks different these days. And this is a quote from an upperclassman. Jared, this actually blew my mind. We don't call them Newton's laws anymore. Did you know that? Do you know they don't call them that anymore?
I did not. Why?
We call them the three fundamental laws of physics. They say we need to decenter whiteness and we need to acknowledge that there's more than just Newton in physics.
Yeah, but there isn't.
Ready, Jared? One of her classmates says that he tries to take the fact classes, not the identity classes, but it's gotten harder to distinguish between the two. I took U.S. history, and I figured when you learn about U.S. history, maybe you structure it by time period or what happened under each presidency. We trace different marginalized groups. That's how it was structured. I only heard a handful of the president's names in class. How sad is that? I wonder if he feels hopeful, though. I'm sure he does. If he feels morally superior to other people. All right, Brentwood, a school that cost $45,630 a year, made headlines a few weeks back when it held racially segregated dialogue and community building sessions. But when I speak with a parent of a middle school student there, they want to talk about their child's English curriculum. Now, this is a quote from the parent. They replaced all the books with no input or even informing the parents. The curriculum no longer features classics such as The Scarlet Letter, Little Women, To Kill a Mockingbird, and Lord of the Flies. If you don't think this is important, if you don't think this is coming for you at some point, you're wrong. And I want to read you one more part. In this worldview, complexity itself is a kind of racism. Nuance is a phobia. In skepticism, merely a type of false consciousness. The heartbeat of racism is denial, and too often, the more powerful the racism, the more powerful the denial. That's from the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. One teacher told me that he was asked to teach an anti-racist curriculum that included a pyramid of white supremacy. At the top of the pyramid was genocide. At the bottom, so this is like the less racist but still part of the structure, at the bottom was two sides to every story. Two sides to every story, he said. That was on the racist pyramid. And then this part of it is crazy. For high schoolers, the message is more explicit. A Fieldston student says that students are often told, if you are white and male, you are second in line to speak. This is considered a normal and necessary redistribution of power. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it, but I think this stuff is getting out of control. And I think you can hear a lot of this in the way Jen Psaki speaks and in the way all of these Biden administration people speak, because they don't answer any questions. They just say things that make people feel good, you know, make all the suburban white women who have white guilt and decided that, oh, Trump's tweets are mean and he's evil. It makes them feel good. It might not actually do anything. It might not be good policies. It might not make America safer or help our economy. But it makes people feel good. That's what we're becoming. We're becoming a country that just wants to have good feelings. Rome is burning, but at least we all feel like we're being nice. Guys, I will get back to this and I will take your calls on the other side. 844-500-4242. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? Not me, because with my friends at Aviva Trattoria, we'll be giving away a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. Two lucky listeners are coming in this Friday. They're going to have an awesome spread. I cannot wait. Jared, I have been dreaming about the truffle homemade potato chips all week long.
2 weeks is a long wait.
I know, it really is. And Jared's mixing it up this week. He's going to get an Italian sandwich. They really have, no matter what you want, if you're into seafood or pasta or just like a cheeseburger, you know, pub food, they have everything. And there's the nicest people. You want to check them out. If you want to enter to win the contest, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Put in your email. You'll be automatically entered to win. I select winners every other Friday. So I won't be selecting anyone this Friday, but I'll be selecting people next Friday. Aviva Trattoria, they are our studio sponsor as well. They have four convenient locations, Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westward. Takeout is available too. They have great deals. They run all week long. Including like deals, like buy one, get one type of deals. Really great stuff. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. We'll be back on the other side with your calls, 844-500-4242. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Is there any further updates on when
the website? You can ask them about the website.
Not the website.
Okay, you can. You can. I was ready.
I'll save that one for next week.
Okay.
But on for possibly next week, is the president chosen a date yet, or working with Congress on a joint address to Congress? And what's that going to look like as far as being virtual or in person?
I don't have any update on that for you. And certainly as soon as we have a date confirmed, we are looking forward to doing a joint address. We're working through that with Congress. Our focus now is on the address the president will be delivering on Thursday night during his first primetime address. He'll talk about COVID, what we've been through as a country, and what the path forward looks like. And we'll focus on the next address once we get through that.
You know, I don't even, I know Jen Psaki's getting a lot of heat. And when I hear her give these non-answers, I understand why. But I will say, it must be hard to answer for someone who is not there mentally. I mean, he's not in charge. His policies, they're not anything that the Democrats are passionate about. They're just doing the exact opposite of whatever Trump did. So you can't even really stand your ground on that stuff because the policies don't make any sense. So it makes sense why Kayleigh McEnany was so much better at it, because she was going out and she probably really believed all of these policies. She saw them, you know, making the country better, and she probably was proud of them. But if I was trying to speak for Joe Biden and people were asking me, when's he going to have a State of the Union? I'd be like, guys, he's not. I mean, you guys have seen him. I know he doesn't come out for a press conference, but that's really all you have to know. But I do want to go through some other sound here before we get into the next hour. This day is just going by so fast. Jared, I want to hear what Fauci has to say about the science. He was on CNN for his daily hit. It seems like he's on there, you know, every other hour. So let's play Fauci. This is cut 9.
You know, from the Biden administration that they say it will make its decisions based on science. What's the science behind not saying it's safe for people who have been vaccinated, receive two doses, to travel?
They're being careful, understandably. They want to get science. They want to get data. And then when you don't have the data and you don't have the actual evidence, then you've got to make a judgment call. And I think that's what you're going to be seeing in the next weeks. You're going to see little by little more and more guidelines getting people to be more and more flexible.
Judgment calls.
Flexible.
The guy is such a phony. They know it's coming to an end. He knows. He had a good run. I mean, I say this all the time, but throughout the first pitch, even though no one's allowed to go see baseball games, Brad Pitt played him on SNL. Governor Whitmer, I don't know if you saw this week, Jared, she's got a pillow of him, you know, of his face behind her in her news hits. I think it was Whitmer. I might be mistaken on that, but someone has a Fauci pillow. What else? He got a prize for $1 million. He's on every TV station known to man. The guy had the best year of his life. And that's all well and good, but now they're trying to get on board with like, oh, yeah, we're part of this too. The opening up, we see this happening as well. It's like, no, Texas and Mississippi and Connecticut, deep red Connecticut, called your bluff and said, "Nah, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to open up." And now they're panicking. Because what happens when you open up and the science doesn't change? The science says, you know, yeah, they're okay. They opened up, they're okay. then we see who the frauds are in this situation. And Dr. Fauci, I mean, I gave the guy the benefit of the doubt for so long. Not anymore. When we get back, guys, before we do producer's picks, we're going to go over some of King Cuomo's latest sound cuts. This guy, he does not know when to stop. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.